Hey, a good day to you. Jerry Usher, Debbie Giorgiani joining you now on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Thank you for tuning in. This is your show. You drive it with your takes, your insights, your lived experiences. And Debbie, good day to you. How you doing? I hope you and Marty are doing well.
I'm doing, yeah, it's a good day. It's a really good day. We prayed this morning. It was wonderful. Started off strong. And it's always good when you, when the alarm goes off and you jump out of bed. I love that. Instead of hitting the snooze button like 50 million times. So it's a good day.
Good. Well, it's always a good day, too, and we can spend this time with you, our listeners. And we want to thank the show team, of course, Rich, Matt, Jeff, and everyone behind the scenes at EWTN. And our affiliates, thank you for carrying the program. And as always, you, the Take Two listening family. It's your show. So here's the phone number, and then we'll kind of lay out what we're going to talk about today. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. That can get you to be a part of the program today. And Debbie, I came up with this show topic, and I know it had you kind of scratching your head, and it has maybe some other people scratching their head a little bit. And the title that came to me, and I'm going to explain this a little bit, but it's whose name tags are on your crosses. Now, do you have any idea where I thought we might go with that, Deb, before I lay it out?
Well, I mean, I explored. You gave this the show synopsis on our website, take2show.com. So it did help me out. And I believe where you're going with this is that, you know, we all have the struggles and the things that happen to us, the crosses that we carry just by the nature of living in this world and having the things happen to us. But then there's also those situations or experiences that we take ownership of, that we feel guilty about, or maybe somehow we feel responsible, and we take those upon ourselves as our own kind of crosses that we fitted to ourselves, which we really shouldn't, because they're not really meant for us. They don't have our name on it. Is that correct?
That's it. You nailed it. So, dear friends, 833-288-3986. This is a little bit of a deeper topic, but, you know, I think we're all carrying around crosses that are not our own. Jesus tells us we will have a cross to carry, and we must pick it up daily and follow him in order to be his disciples. But as Debbie just beautifully laid out, things happen to us sometimes. We can be betrayed. We can be abused in some way. We can feel rejected. Maybe you're a child of divorce. You had a spouse leave you, or maybe you come from an alcoholic home. And, you know, as kids, Debbie, we take everything on ourselves. You know, I've said on the show before, we look at especially our parents and adults and grownups, and we think, wow, you know, they're almost like God to us. You know, so especially things that happen to us when we're young. But it doesn't have to be when we're little kids. It can be any time in our life. And like you said, Debbie, we can assume the guilt and the shame, and we can take on that cross and try and lug that around and think, oh, man, this was my responsibility. And you know what? It wasn't. So how do we shed that? You know, this is what I wanted to have a conversation on, just to hear from anybody who feels like, you know what, I'm carrying around this ball and chain, and it has somebody else's name on it, and by golly, I want to try and grow closer to God and grow in peace of mind and heart. So there you go, folks. Take it away.
833-288-3986. Jerry, I want to share something very real and personal with me. And as you were speaking, I'm wondering if you would categorize this as a cross, because I've always felt this way. I've talked about this before on the show. My parents had a pretty dysfunctional relationship. We had a dysfunctional family, if you will. But it worked, I guess, for all of us to some degree. But they stayed together until my dad passed. Obviously, they were married almost 60 years. But I was born, actually, the day after their anniversary. My mother tried really hard to have me on her anniversary, and I was born the day after. But it was always told to me since I was born that I came into the family for a reason. And I think I always felt early on that I came into the family to keep the family together. And so I felt very responsible for making my mom happy in this dysfunctional relationship that she was in with my dad. And I still feel that way. My mom is 87 years old, and I still do everything I possibly can to make her happy, to the point where I always end up, you know, suffering myself. And I can't seem to shed it. And I think what I've reconciled is that, you know, when my mother finally leaves this earth, that's when I'll be free of it. But I will tell you, it's been a hard, 52 years, because I've always felt like I was born just to make them happy. And it was really, it's a tough situation to be in. See, I'm going to get teary-eyed because I know my older sister's probably listening right now and she's probably saying, see, I told you, you should have shed this cross a long time ago. But it's hard because how do you do that when it's your parents and you love your parents so very much, especially your mother? So I would be interested to know if there's other children out there that have taken on crosses for their families because they love their parents and their siblings so much. Some people would say, I guess they would say that was a heroic thing I did. I think it was kind of stupid, to be honest with you, because it really hurt my physical self a lot. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think that was a cross I don't think I needed to take, huh?
Well, I think that's a good example, and it can be family, it can be people outside the family. Again, if you feel like you are maybe just kind of holding on to something, maybe you feel the responsibility is yours for something that was done to you, a trauma, a wound, an injury that you suffered, it's very, very natural. This isn't a criticism, this isn't, you know, accusing yourself of something. This is really just kind of recognizing that, you know, we do this, and I think Jesus wants us to be free of these things. So 833-288-3986. You know, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I mentioned, you know, I was seven at the time that my parents divorced, and this is not a criticism of those who have been involved in divorce. I mean, it does happen in human nature and so forth, but Deacon Harold Birksiver is a good mutual friend of ours, Debbie, who many of our listeners know, has a saying. He says, when the parents put down their cross and the kids pick it up. And that's kind of the in a nutshell what this topic is about here today. Sometimes we take up these crosses and we think, you know, it must be my responsibility. I was 7 years old when my parents divorced. That's the age of reason, right about the time the church says, you know, the age of reason, but you start to put the puzzle pieces together. And again, like I said, we look at adults and we say, wow, you know, they're incredible. They're godlike. They walk on water. It can't be their fault. And so I'd say up until I was about 50 years old, I think I assumed and carried around and suffered from, in many ways, the guilt and the shame and the sense of responsibility of that. So, right. Again, what we're talking is whose name tags are on your crosses, but you can substitute for crosses, you can substitute, you know, wounds, injuries, whatever you want. But, and we don't have to be specific, you know, you don't have to call in and say, well, I suffered this type of abuse or this or that happened, but just have you resolved this? Have you dealt with this? Or maybe you're still feeling the weight of it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think our listeners are getting the hang of it because phone lines are filling up. That means you have something to say about this. I guess you guys are all carrying some crosses that don't have your name on it and you've just adopted them as your own. So please, let's hear from you because we learn and grow from you. 833-288-3986. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And the title of our show today is Whose Name Tags Are on Your Crosses? That's what we're talking about today on this wonderful show. And when we come back, we're going right to Steve. Hold on, Steve, in Denver, Colorado.
Dr. David Anders.
Our assurance of salvation is grounded in the objective word of promise from Christ, who said to the apostles, whoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Period. End of paragraph.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, many of the popular shows on demand, prayers and devotionals, and keep up on the latest Catholic news. For more, visit EWTNapps.com.
And this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I'm Doug Keck, your host. I just finished interviewing Colleen C. Mitchell on Bookmark on her latest book, Who Does He Say You Are?, published by Franciscan Media, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. So tell us, Colleen, what's this book about?
It is a scriptural walk through Jesus' encounters with 12 women in the Gospels that allows Catholic women, Christian women to look at the question of who Jesus says we are, what our identity is in him, and grow from wherever we are in our faith into a deeper understanding and a deeper intimacy of who we are in Christ and the relationship he desires to have for us. And so this is a example of how women found new life in him so that we can follow them into that new life.
Right, and our Lord wants that for all of us. Okay, very good. Colleen C. Mitchell, author of Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Gospels, published by Franciscan Media, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Thanks.
Thanks so much for being with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And this is just one of the program offerings you get from EWTN Radio each and every weekday. In fact, you get 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live, and it's going to be coming your way again at 6 o'clock this evening, Eastern Time. And it's Tim Staples in the first hour, Father Paul Keller in the second hour. It's an open forum Q&A. That means you can call and ask any question about the faith, other religions, spirituality, prayer, the sacraments, Mary, the Pope. You get it. Catholic Answers Live is your source for that. 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio, Monday through Friday. Do not miss it.
Yes, love Catholic Answers Live. Okay, Steve in Denver, Colorado on Denver Catholic Radio. Hi, Steve. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie. I just drove 12 hours from South Texas last night. This is your old friend who was driving over the road back in the summer of 16. Mm-hmm. And I called you and told you that I was driving over the road. Anyway, boy, I'll tell you, Dr. Phil should change jobs and be the host of a show called Dysfunctional Family Feud. anyway, but I have a mental image that I think you really like for suffering, and I thought about this a long time ago, but if you take like a clock, you know, with just the minute hand on it, and break it up into four quadrants, and then each quadrant would be a disposition towards whatever your particular cross is. So one quadrant would be running away from your cross, and then another next quadrant would be carrying your cross. The third quadrant would be dragging. The second one would be dragging your cross. The third one would be carrying your cross, and the fourth one would be nailed to your cross. And you'd have some kind of a graphic in each one of the quadrants, you know, showing a person. I don't really want it to be Jesus. You know.
Wow.
He's running away from the cross, carrying the cross, dragging the cross, and, you know, figuratively nailed to the cross. So that was just this mental image I had about carrying your cross, oh, geez, several years ago. And, I never tried to patent it or anything. But it was just an idea I had. You know, you put it on your refrigerator and you point it at the appropriate quadrant on a given day. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay. I was going to ask you, Steve, what exactly the purpose of that image was. I get the idea, but you're talking about maybe have a little movable needle that you can kind of adjust to.
Like, where are you today? What's your pain level today? And they have a different smiley faces, you know, for the given levels of pain or whatever. I don't know. And it's just, I guess it's just kind of like a quick little examination. Where am I with my cross, you know, or whatever.
Wow. Debbie, that is deep.
That is powerful. Well, you just put it out there on a global stage, Steve, so you better patent it quickly.
I know. Somebody else is going to steal the patent. What can I say?
No, but anyway.
God bless y'all.
No, Steve, actually, that is really helpful. And I actually drew a circle and I did the quadrants, and I actually put in the statements, as you said. And I think that just
dragging, carrying, and nailed to.
Right. And that even the image of that, like you said, putting it on your refrigerator, it does allow you to kind of understand where you're at. And it's very important.
Yeah, where am I at?
Right. We take inventory every day. Steve, that is very powerful. That was very, very good. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Oh, well, you're certainly welcome.
All right. Be safe out there, Steve. Thanks for the call to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Whose name tags are on your crosses? Are you carrying burdens that you feel maybe this is so subconscious, maybe you've never reflected on this? But give a little time to ponder it, and then give us a call and share if there's just been something that happened to you, an experience, something was done to you in your life, and you've kind of carried the responsibility for that, and it's maybe it's time to let that go. 833-288-3986.
Okay, next up is Carol, and Carol's in Traverse City, Michigan, listening on Barriga Broadcasting. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you. The reason I'm calling is I spent my life doing what I loved most, and I know it was the career that God wanted for me, and that was I was a psychotherapist, and I worked mostly with patients in the 12-step program, which was, you know, the only way you can legitimately do mental health treatment and bring God into the equation, you know, and nobody questions that, so that worked out great. But through it all those many decades, one of the things that I am most grateful to have learned is goes along exactly with what you're talking about today, and it just seems to be universal. That concept is the fact that if you think about children, they're basically powerless. They have no control over anything that happens to them for the most part, and their job is to survive. So somehow, in those little incredible brains, children figure out that the only shred of power they can grasp onto is, if I'm the problem, I'm the solution. And I think that's at the core of all of this. It almost seems to be, as I said, like an inborn ability that children, nobody teaches them this. And, you know, you see hundreds and thousands of patients come through through the course of your career, and at some level, it just seems like everyone deals with this. And probably, I think, because it is the only, it's the first and only way of trying to manipulate their environment in a positive way. You know, the more chaos there is, the more they try to focus on themselves as being the problem so that they can create magically a solution.
Wow. Wow, that is really insightful, too, Carol. In fact, I was going to ask you, when you said that they see themselves as the problem and the solution, I wasn't quite sure what you meant by that, but then you clarified that, and you said it sort of becomes, I don't know. Can you elaborate just a little bit more on that, Carol, just so that I can wrap my head around it and our listeners as well?
Rightfully so, you know. Because as I threw also in the word magical, because children engage in magical thinking. You know, that's just, their little unsophisticated brains just do the best they can to make sense out of the chaos around them. And one of the words I wrote down when I was taking a few notes waiting to talk to you is the word convoluted. You know, this whole thing is, you're right, you can't apply adult reason to this because we don't think that way anymore, except the throwbacks of what you're talking about exactly today, the crosses that we bear, the problems that we take on. You know, the idea of if I hadn't gotten mad at my brother, really mad that one day, he wouldn't have been diagnosed with leukemia 2 weeks later or whatever. You know, there is a huge piece of irrationality attached to this, which is why with your rational adult brain, you're trying to think this through and make all the pieces fit. And they kind of really don't, but that's how it is with children.
Right.
And well, it's incredibly creative. I think it's a gift from God.
Well, it's a definite survival mechanism, absolutely. But, Carol, let me ask you this question. So, having said that, I totally grasp what you're saying, and actually I got very emotional when you were saying it because I related it actually 48 years ago of how I used to see things. But how do you shed that as an adult? I mean, not to have a counseling session right here, but I mean, here I'm 52 years old and I still find myself acting like 8 years old with my mom.
The first and most important is the adage of knowledge is power. And just by being educated about this, just for you to have that one piece, that one layer of the onion peeled away today by hearing this piece of information, from now on, when you start to go to the throwback of irrationality with the guilt and all the other complicated issues attached to that, you can interrupt yourself cognitively and say,
okay,
oh, no, I understand where this is coming from, and this isn't where I am today at age 50 or whatever.
Right.
You know, this
right.
is okay. This is vestiges from the past that have been with me, and they're automatic now. So I have to intervene, and gradually we'll undo the process, and it does work.
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. Carol, thank you so much, and thank you for the work that you do. What incredible work. Wow, you are great. If I get to come back to Traverse City, I'd love to meet with you.
Oh, I would love it. And, you know, I just want to say one thing really quickly because I don't want to take up anybody else's time, but I just had to write a bio, and the last thing I wrote in there was talking about the work that I did and do, and I said, I'm one of those lucky people that can count themselves in the category of I never worked a day in my life.
Wow. Good for you. If you enjoyed it that much and it was that much of a blessing, then more power to you to be able to look at it that way. Thank you, Carol in Traverse City. Great phone call. Appreciate that. And Debbie, this is there's a word that I use, Debbie, that I know you're going to know what it is, but I think if I could sum up what she was saying there, it's, I use that word reframe. You know, we have to reframe, or another way to put it is edit the movie. I like to say we have to edit the movie, these things that happen to us, these experiences that we have, and we have these, you know, creative solutions, and we fight for our whole lives to try and get to a, you know, a place of resolution in some of these things. And there comes a point, God willing, by His grace, Debbie, if we can just reframe the situation and say, wait a minute, you know, I'm looking at this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. That could be so very, very powerful. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't get there.
Well, and Jerry, I think sometimes it can be, we can try to reframe things ourselves, but our family members are not going to reframe things. See, everybody has a certain character image of their sibling or their child, and it's very hard to break free of that. That's why I know in Arizona, they call Arizona like a melting pot of people who want to move and have new beginnings, because they move away from their families to have new beginnings. Why is that? Because the image for, in their families, it's stuck in people's heads. You can't break free of that mold, and that can be tough. So I love what Carol has to say. You have to really stay aware of it in the moment and realize that you're going back there and you don't want to go back there. And you really got to, like you said, Jerry, reframe it for yourself and not worry about what people have to say. Okay, Tom, we want to know what you have to say, though, in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Tom. Thanks for waiting and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, Tom, you didn't walk away from the phone.
Well, if he did, what we'll do is have Matt to go back to him, Debbie. And who was right after Tom then?
Right after Tom is Karen. Karen's in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network as well. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Debbie. Hi. I wanted to dovetail off of what Carol said and, first of all, distinguish between dysfunctional and functional families, because I do believe there are people that grow up in functional families as well. However, for those of us that do grow up in dysfunctional families, like she was saying, children adopt roles to keep from drowning. And then the part where you were asking, okay, I know that already, what do I do now? And of course, like she said, the cognitive awareness is very important. However, what can be more powerful is our emotions and our feelings. So you're with your mom, maybe you want to set boundaries. It's easier said than done, though, when you've been in this role so long and you have these deep emotions for your mom. And so what I wanted to suggest to you, in addition to what she was saying, is accountability. In other words, you need your feelings need to be cared about. You need someone who can help you process those feelings you're having, those powerful feelings about what do I really need to do to help my mom versus am I not setting boundaries for myself and self-care and what have you. So I would add that to it for you, and you having an accountability person that can help you process through that kind of whirlpool.
Well, actually, I hope, Karen, what you're saying helps others as well, because I will tell you that's exactly where my husband, Marty, is in that role, because he constantly will say to me, Debbie, okay, what about, yeah, he'll say, what about you? What about you? And for a while, I resisted that, but now I listen to him and I say, you know what? What about me? You know, I have to set those boundaries. So I'm hoping that, Karen, this helps others as well, because I know that I correspond with many other caregivers who are taking care of their elderly parents. And I know we all tend to put ourselves on the back burner, and that can be really rough physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I just appreciate your input on this and your wisdom on this, because I think it's going to help many people.
Well, thank you. My heart went out to you, though, when I don't typically call in the shows, but as I was driving and I heard you share your story, and as I listened to you on the radio, you are what I gain is just such a compassionate and loving person. And I just thought, well, I need to call and just support her. And so anyway, my support goes out to you, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. That is really sweet. Well, I am sending you a virtual hug right now, so thank you so much.
Well, I accept it. Okay. Well, y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Karen. You too. All right, Tom, Barbara, Dennis, and we have an open phone line here, 833-288-EWTN. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. This is your program, and you are really offering insightful wisdom today. So incredible stuff, and this is what you do every day. And so take that open phone line. We're talking today about whose name tags are on your crosses. All right, you have your unique cross to carry. Jesus created one for you from all eternity. So take it up daily and follow him and be his disciple. But if you've got a cross on each shoulder, or maybe a cross on every finger or something, and you look back in your life and you say, wait a minute, you know, that was not my responsibility. I don't need the guilt of that. I shouldn't be carrying that around. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students, because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. If you're on vacation, you don't want to drive all the way to Orlando and then never enter into the Magic Kingdom. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to him, to live the life that he's calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose him or not. But if we choose him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Post your intentions on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's website. To get there, just click on the bright yellow J&D logo at take2show.com. Jerry and Debbie personally reply to every prayer intention that's posted. Others will also offer you their prayer support. When there's something important you want prayers for, post it on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's site. Visit take2show.com. Click on the J&D logo today.
Gloria Purvis with Matthew Bunsen, who's in for Brian Patrick. Tomorrow on Morning Glory, we have Father Bryce Sibley. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Okay, we're talking today on Take Two, whose name tags are on your crosses? Those crosses that you have adopted as your own that really probably don't have your name on them. And believe you me, there's enough crosses out there. We probably don't have to pick up more of them. It's just going to weigh us down. So we want to go back to the phones. And next up is, okay, help me out with this, Jerry, because I can't see who's next.
Tom dropped, so Barbara okay, would be next. Yeah.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. Okay, Barbara in Wenatchee, Washington. Barbara, thank you so much for waiting, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a cross that I'm carrying that I'm not sure has my name, but I think it is. My husband died a year ago today, and it's my second marriage. They were both wonderful, wonderful marriages, a real blessing from God. And we had a very happy life together. We were only married just under 9 years, but my husband went to the doctor so many times and to the walk-in clinic and all of that. And my husband, they finally found out that he had bone cancer. And 5 days, and we had hospice, and I was the one that would take care of him. And they would come and every day, and they would, like they do. They were wonderful. And then after my husband died, my stepdaughter started to accuse me of being, and they wrote it in a letter, which I tore up and burned. But they said that I hastened their dad's death by not taking him to the doctors enough and by giving him too many medications, and I caused his early death. And I didn't. I wrote, yes, because they have a checklist for you, and I would check it off and initial it. And anyway, it's just, I know that I did what I should do, but the emotional part's still there. It's like baggage.
Right.
And then I started to realize that might be their way of dealing with grief by accusing me so they have escape or something.
Right.
And I pray for them every day.
Right. Well, Barbara, there's no accident that you called in. So please, please take this to heart. This exact same situation happened in my family with my dad's death. The exact same, Barbara. So listen up on this. Be free of it today. Okay, you did everything that the medical professionals told you to do. You did everything you possibly could. You know the truth. God knows the truth. These stepchildren or these children, whoever they are dealing with their own issues, and they're putting their issues on you. And this was told to me by a priest who gave this advice to me and my mother when the exact same thing happened to us. So I feel very free of everything we did for my father. My father had a great life, and we did everything possible to make his life better, and God called him home. And I know the truth, and God knows the truth. And Barbara, you have to adopt that. Otherwise, it will eventually hurt you physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, if it hasn't done it yet. So Barbara, free yourself of it. That's a trap that you are allowing yourself to go into, and it's only going to hurt you. And this was told to me by a priest. This isn't my advice.
Thank you very much. And maybe pray for them, because they must be really in a lot of pain or something. So, but God really did bless me with two very wonderful husbands and soulmates.
Right.
And we had so many happy memories and times together. So
yeah.
I have all those gifts to enjoy.
Right. Well,
so
keep those memories. Okay, Barbara, keep those memories. We will pray for the children. But keep in mind, it's not only that they're grieving. They have their own issues, whatever it is. Maybe they feel guilty they didn't do enough. A lot of times people will project what their insecurities are or what their failings are onto other people. So you can't take those crosses on. That's their own issues. But we will pray for them. Absolutely. But Barbara, grieve. We're sorry for your loss. Get through the grieving process and then start to take care of you. Please do that, Barbara. Jerry?
Barbara, I just wanted to add, it comes through so loud and clear in your voice, your heart. Your heart is in the right place. You did, like Debbie said, what were you supposed to do? You're not a doctor. You're not a nurse. You didn't know what was going on with your husband. And you relied on the medical establishment, and they did due process, and he ended up being diagnosed and passed away, and that happens. And you were right by his side. Not only did you not do enough, it sounds like you did everything and more mm-hmm. that you could have for him. And he was a lucky man, Barbara. He was a very, very lucky man. So take that with you, and as Debbie said, be free of this today and enjoy Wenatchee, Washington. I'm originally from Washington State. I know Wenatchee well. I've got one of my best friends who works at a country radio station there. So, Barbara, enjoy this beautiful time of year in Wenatchee, and you'll be in our prayers, dear. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes. We'll be praying for you, Barbara. Keep us posted. Okay, Dennis, in Duluth, Minnesota, on Real Presence Radio, you have been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, Dennis.
Good. So I'm blessed with the role of a caregiver. I have two brothers, five sisters. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the best looking. I'm not the wealthiest. I have none of those traits, but it's a divine calling that has been given to me. And when I look at things, it's like, okay, I look at an experience, and then I examine what is my role in that experience to determine if it's my cross or not. And I'm going to give you an example. My mom's in a nursing home. She's been in there for 4 years now, and she's on her sixth roommate. Three of them have died. Two of them were there just temporarily. So her new roommate moves in, and my mom is so upset because she was in a single room, this roommate, and is trying to cram all this furniture into this double room. And my mom, I wasn't there, but my mom's 95 and a half, and she stood up for herself, and she let this lady have it, and she had the deacon help her. And my mom's telling me this story after the fact. And so I'm sitting there listening, realizing my role in this experience is to neither add to it nor detract from it. I was simply there to listen, to take in information. And at the end of the story, my mom says, we have it all worked out, we're good friends, and you would be very proud of me. I didn't have to validate anything my mom said. I didn't have to discredit anything my mom said. I didn't have to add to the drama. I just had to be there. And it's, so what is your role in that, in the experience, to help you determine whether or not it's your cross to bear?
That's fabulous, Dennis. I have to tell you, your mom is awesome. I would love to take her into any war with me. I tell you, she sounds pretty tough and cool. I love that. 95 years old and she stood up for herself, and that is beautiful. But I love the way you just affirmed that. You let her speak, and then you just were there for her as support if needed. But she said, I love the way she says, you would be proud of me. I took care of it. That's awesome. Your mother is really a very strong woman. And you're right. You have to assess each situation and wonder and decide what your role is and what you're able to do, willing to do, and what you should do. I think that is very practical advice, Dennis. I love that. Tell your mom she's pretty cool. Can we have her first name?
Margaret.
Margaret. Oh, great name. I love, yeah. St. Margaret. Yeah. Wow.
And everything I learned about caregiving is from her. And it's, you know, burdens and blessings, they begin and end with the same letters. We get to choose what word we spell by our actions. And it's a divine calling to be a caregiver. It's a gift. I wouldn't trade it for, I wouldn't give it to any of my siblings. It is a gift from God that has been given to me, and I revel in it, I relish in it, and I thrive in it. Doesn't mean I don't suffer, doesn't mean I don't have challenges, but it's just, he's given me the gifts. It's my role to use those gifts.
Wow.
Amen, brother. Amen, mm-hmm. Dennis. Thanks for another great take, Dennis from Duluth, Minnesota. And prayers for you and prayers for Margaret, your mother. Thank you very much for sharing her inspiring personality and testimony with us.
I love it. 95. Man, yeah. She's cool.
833-288-3986. We love hearing from you, especially on this topic today. Are you carrying the crosses that might have somebody else's name on them? And Debbie, we had a couple of social media comments. Our good friend Ron in Los Angeles emailed at take2@ewtn.com, says, I've got three crosses that I'm juggling, my own and that of each of my parents. Yikes. Mm-hmm. God bless you all for your prayers. Your brother in Christ, Ron. And Ron, we always have you lifted up in prayer. And I don't know, Debbie, do you see the comments? If you want to read some, you can.
Wow, there's so many coming in. They're coming in so quickly. Deborah weighed in on Facebook. My parents divorced after 20 years with their own infidelities. I was consumed with so much guilt and continued to blame myself for their actions. Both of my parents have passed now. At 63 years of age, I have forgiven them, and I'm free. Thanks be to Jesus. See, Deborah, that's, when you say you're free, that's so important. That's what we wanted to impart to Barbara as well. You know, God wants us to be free in this world so we can do his work. If we're saddled with all of these crosses that don't have our name on them, my goodness, that's going to weigh us down. Arthur said, I have an elderly gentleman that has moved in with me with heart disease. Sometimes I feel that I have bitten off more than I can chew. Yeah, that can be tough, especially when you do, you know, they say no good deed goes unpunished. You know, you do something really good for someone and then you find out, wow, this is overwhelming. And that can be tough. I would just, Arthur, I recommend getting some support, enlist some support to help you as well.
And back to Deborah's comment just for a moment. She mentioned how she's forgiven and that gave her freedom. And I've experienced that in my own life. So I just encourage anyone who's listening, if you are carrying around the burden, the guilt, the shame, a cross from someone that has somebody else's name on it, and you want to shed it, one great way to do that is to forgive them. If they have wounded you in some way, forgiveness is not an instantaneous thing. Not always. It can take a little bit of time, but from your heart, if you're able to forgive, that is so very powerful. Mm-hmm. All right, we have a phone line open, 833-288-3986, as we go to Robert in Boston, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Robert. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very joyful to be able to speak on the radio. I really love Station of the Cross here in Boston, and my comment is about the quadrants that was previous on the show. I know from the diary of Saint Faustina that she had a vision of souls having their relation with a cross, and in this picture we can see her souls nailed next to our Lord, and also with souls kneeling next to the crosses, and the other would carrying it, and other souls will kind of afraid of the cross that they didn't want to pick up. And my thought is that if you are if you can see your cross and you are afraid of taking it, you have this guilt and can be paralyzed. Can bring to this, to the despair, and only way is to take it and carry, because Lord always gives us the things we can handle. And through my life, I was running away from the cross for many years, but once I took it, I recognized it, and I love my cross. I'm not perfect, and sometimes I fell like our Lord, but the cross builds me and gives me character. So this is my comment about wow. Problems, because all the problems are from the Lord. Lord allows things to happen. So,
Robert, for
a greater good.
Yes. Robert, you have just in about 90 seconds probably summed up the spiritual life as well as I've ever heard anybody sum it up before. We all do have, as we said earlier on the show, we have a tailor-made cross from Jesus. And I will speak from personal experience. I can relate to you, brother, running from that cross. It can be so scary. It can be frightening. It could seem overwhelming. But the reality is, Jesus makes it clear, the only way to wholeness and healing and peace, actually, and happiness is through the cross. It is through suffering. And Debbie, how many of the saints, he's talking about Saint Faustina, how many of the saints reference joy in the midst of suffering? And you go,
oh my goodness.
Are you kidding me? How can you be
pretty
joyful
much everyone. Mm-hmm.
When they're going through that? But they have embraced it, and it's Jesus in them who is that joy. And so, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know, Debbie, you're probably just going, wow, that was Catechesis 101.
Oh, my goodness. Robert, I'd love to take you into any religious education program. I mean, you are incredible the way you speak about it, and you're so right. And the thing about it is keeping that bigger focus, that ultimate good for our souls and for others. That's the plan, you know, and we talk about this beautiful tapestry coming together when everybody goes through all their sufferings here on earth. I mean, this is a temporary place, and this is not our home, and this is really a training ground, if you will. And when we get through it all, it's all going to hopefully form that beautiful tapestry in eternity of everything that everybody took on for each other and for themselves, for their own souls and for their own, sanctification. I'll tell you what, Robert, you have a lot of powerful things to say. Keep talking. You know, you said you love the Station of the Cross. We do as well. Talk it up in the Boston area and let people know what you have to say, because like Jerry said, it's great catechesis. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
And did you have anything else, Robert, you wanted to add?
There is a beautiful feast during the Holy Week. It's on Friday, and it's a feast of embracing the cross. It's during the after the distribution of the holy body of our Lord. There is embracing of the cross, and I didn't see many people here, but this is the perfect moment to kiss your cross and to accept it. To give every other problems to Jesus, because he wants our problems, and I won't hide. But the Diary of Saint Faustina helped me a lot to understand. It opened my my heart, it opened my mind. Reading it, I also live it, but. Sometimes there are moments when I feel very joyful. The other moments can be more sad. But always is this moment of great joy when you stand up with your cross and you have it. Because if you don't have your cross, you feel that something is missing. Because I feel like that.
Right. Well, and you know,
Jesus, well, and I know that salvation comes through cross.
Yes, so, and Robert, as you're talking,
we cannot separate ourselves.
Well, yeah, right. As you're talking about the different things that you feel or perceive, you know, joy sometimes, sadness other times. Hey, let's be honest. We got four different sets of mysteries of the Rosary, and maybe there's a reason for that, because we are going to experience all of those in our lives. It can't be, Debbie, it can't be all a picnic. It can't be all joyful.
That's right.
It can't be all glorious. There's got to be the sorrowful mixed in. And so the more we unite ourselves to Christ in his passion, ours makes sense, and it becomes a little bit lighter and more joyful, God willing. So, Robert, thank you again for that amazing stuff.
And you know it has an ultimate purpose. So when you know that, you know there's a reason for it. Can I just share something real quickly? Thank you again, Robert. We appreciate so very much your wisdom on this. EWTN has a wonderful newsletter. It's called Wings, and it's really great. You can stay up to date on the latest EWTN TV and radio shows. And the reason why I mention this is because so many folks will email in and they'll say, what's coming up next? You know, what's happening next week? And Wings is just great. It keeps you up to date on the TV and radio shows. Plus, it has books and art and CDs and DVDs from the religious catalog, plus blogs and bookmark and news and events. So it's just a real comprehensive newsletter. So just, folks, check it out, EWTN.com. Wings, just look for Wings, EWTN.com.
Okay. Back to your phone calls. Take two with Jerry and Debbie talking about, do you carry a cross that maybe doesn't have your name on it, or more than one, from things that have been done to you. You've experienced traumas, wounds, and you're wondering, you know, how do I, maybe you've moved beyond this, or maybe you haven't yet. 833-288-3986. FinTan in Seattle, Washington, watching on YouTube. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello, FinTan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Debbie. It's so great to be on the show. One second. Let me just pull over. Yes.
Are you with us, FinTan?
Yes, Jerry. Yes, it's so great to be on the show. I was listening to Robert on the different crosses we carry and to the Diary of Saint Faustina, which are also on the devotions, which I also do. And at this moment in time in my marriage, I feel that I have more than one cross, especially in my marriage with my spouse. And at the point that sometimes I carry joyfully, and at most times I kind of like just drag it along, like I'm not happy with what I'm faced with. I'm a cradle Catholic. I was born and raised in Fiji, from strong Catholic parents and values and beliefs. My spouse, parents two different faiths, and she was brought here to the U.S. when they were young. And so my comment is that we faced a very big struggle because she believes that all that she does in the world and it's a worldly view is right. And when I brought her back to the faith, and we go to church, but it's only when it suits her. And so my thing is, I struggle with carrying my cross because I understand, to my understanding, to the catechism, that it's our duty to get our spouses to heaven. And at times, mm-hmm. I just feel that the cross is overwhelming. Because at the moment I'm in removal proceedings because I came here after from moved to Fiji. I moved to England. I joined the military. I was 13 years in the British military. Then I moved here in 2014. And we found out that she was pregnant. So I kind of stayed. I made the decision to stay before my dad passed. He said, son, you need to look after your family. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about me. You know, I'll be fine. And then he passed away. And mm-hmm. it's a struggle. It's a daily struggle because my spouse, she's more important about what the world thinks of her than what I think of her.
Well, Fintan, Fintan, we're racing against the clock, so I want to just share something. First of all, Jerry and I are not therapists or counselors, but we've lived a combined life of over 100 years, so I say we have a little bit of life experience on this. One thing you want to do is maybe seek out at the parish level someone that can help you and your wife together with some spiritual direction. That's first up. Second, look into some Christian counseling. There's many programs that can really help you. Marriage Encounter, even if, you know, if it ever got to that point, God forbid, Retrovibe. But I'm just saying that there's so many things out there that can help you. The other thing too is, gratitude. Just celebrate, like we say this all the time, celebrate the small things that are going on in your life. It sounds like you have from the way you were talking, you have a pretty great life. And to have that gratitude, it builds upon itself and it starts to, incorporate so many of our spiritual tools that we learn in Catholicism. So by example, we can move others towards closer to God. So we're going to pray for you and your wife, but just start slowly, start today and reframe, like Jerry says, look at it from a different angle and see if you can approach it in a godly way so that you can produce those results that are satisfying to you and also to your wife. Jerry?
Yeah, and Fintan, the only other thing I might add, we are getting ready to run out of time here, is, you know, you mentioned, and rightly so, that it is a spouse's duty to get to one another to heaven. That can be done through your prayers and silent example, your devoutly and fervently living your faith. It doesn't have to be through, you know, words or, you know, kind of grabbing her by the arm and saying, hey, honey, we're going to Mass. But just whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, but just at least take it to prayer and just live your faith as fervently as you can. And we'll be praying. As we said, we're getting set to wrap things up here.
And also, yeah, just as resources, there's CatholicTherapists.com, CatholicCounselors.com. Correct, Jerry? For folks
that is
too.
Correct. And mm-hmm. our friend Helen via email at take2@ewtn.com says her brother used to tell her all the time she was stupid. So she kept blaming herself for things going wrong. I outgrew that and love my brother. I'm letting God throw our past sins as far as the east is from the west. She says, Debbie, I'm too old to stay mired in the past.
Yeah. Way to go, Helen. Love you. Okay. Tomorrow we've got a show planned for you. This, I know you can all relate to this. Do you have trouble saying no? Saying no to people and to commitments. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. But until then, Jerry and I want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.